What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 550th. That's a big number.
550. That's a big number. We're not doing nothing for it, so just get over it.
Big number. Welcome to the Big Number Podcast. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello. I am here. It is cold, but not in this room, which is why I'm wearing a t-shirt instead of the 18 layers I was wearing earlier. It is roasting up here.
It is freezing in my house, but Hannah, how is the room temperature where you are?
Room temperature is good. I had a heater on for about 30 minutes before we started recording so that it would not be too cold in the basement where I am at the moment.
I like how
it's gonna get colder.
I like how Hannah's in a different room every episode.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's gonna be a new location. Eventually we just have to get a green screen and be like, it's Paris, Mars.
I have one more big move sometime this year, and then I think that'll be it. There are a couple different locations in this house, but then after this I have one more big move and then that'll be it, I think.
See, I'm excited for the bathroom podcast.
Oh no.
Got real great acoustics in there. You get everything done.
Tune in next week to see where Hannah is.
Just do it outside one time.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Park.
Okay, so we have probably two of the weirdest news articles this week. One is regarding fish, and the other is regarding Pokemon Sleep. Which is, you know, weird at this point, but we'll take what we can get. Also going to talk about Greninja. Also, Comfey is coming to Unite. So I'm sure Greg is...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll get there. Boy. Let's just kick off with the Pokemon Sleep. Now, this is off PokemonGoHub.net. They do a lot of Pokemon Go news, and you're probably like, why would Pokemon Go websites report on this? It's because pretty much all of the Pokemon Sleep stuff we've gotten so far has been through updates in Pokemon Go.
Just little hints in the data mines.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time we reported on this. I think it was maybe 5 or 6 months ago where Pokemon Go got like two decent updates where there was new sleep stuff added to whatever sleep is supposed to do with Pokemon Go. I don't think anyone knows what it's supposed to do, but there.
Although this new news gives us maybe a hint.
Yeah.
I have some statistics for y'all just when we get there.
There is a new patent. First off, PokemonSleep.com was redirecting to a patent application within the United States Patent and Trademark Office. The patent was called Gamification of Health Awareness Based on Sleep Patterns, with the applicant being the Pokemon company Tokyo Japan. The patent's date was November 17th, 2022, which means that this wasn't like a patent from 2020, right? It's a relatively new patent. The abstract patent picture here is a user breeds a virtual life form by practicing good sleep habits. I'm assuming that's an egg, and then stays motivated towards practicing good sleep habits while enjoying breeding the virtual life form. A game's server manages progress of breeding the game's virtual life form. The game server includes circuitry configured to acquire sleep data that at least includes a sleep pattern, indicating a bedtime, a wake-up time for the user. Stores the user's sleep data as sleep history and updates the breeding game based on the sleep pattern of history. And there's like pictures of Pikachu.
but
it's like a patent, so they use like very generic terms like character, monster, creature.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about patents here. They have like the patent background, the solution to the problem, they say their article here on PokemonGoHub.net is pretty lengthy for what I'm sure most people don't care about. They probably like, is it coming or is it not? I think is the general consensus.
Here's my fun fact for the podcast. 97% of all patents never become anything.
In the US?
Yep.
Yes, and
just saying,
this game has been officially announced. There have been pieces of it in the data mines for Pokemon Go. I am someone who gets really, really poor sleep, and I really want this to be a thing because Pokemon might be able to help with that, because Pokemon encourages me. But so I'm going to try to remain optimistic and hopeful for this game because there continue being little things that feel like it's still coming.
Yes.
The way this looks, at least I wasn't expecting as much as there is in the patent. I kind of glanced at the news and didn't click into it because I didn't expect there to be as much as there is there. And the first thought that I get when I read through just the very generic terms there is that maybe Pokemon Sleep is going to be how you breed Pokemon in Pokemon Go.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The thing I wanted from Pokemon Sleep was the Pokemon Plus Plus, which I thought that was the more exciting announcement out of that. So if we can rewind a little bit, because this was, they announced Pokemon Sleep. What was that? Before the pandemic, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, right at the start or just before?
No, it was long before.
That early? I thought it was.
It was before Sword and Shield, right? No,
yeah,
it was
so.
Before Sword and Shield, but I don't know if it was the same around the same time as Sword and Shield.
I think people say 2019. I feel like it was earlier, but I think it's. I've heard 2019.
It was announced May 28th, 2019.
May 28th, 2019. Got it. When they announced it, there's a bunch of Pokemon stuff that like got announced around that time that none of it came to fruition, like the Detective Pikachu sequel that was now the Detective Pikachu on the Switch, and there was somebody who works at Creatures. Creatures is the company making Detective Pikachu that randomly tweeted like 7 months ago that, yeah, we're still working on Detective Pikachu. Like, I mean, take that for what it is. And then they announced Pokemon Sleep, and then they announced the Pokemon Go Plus Plus, which in this time, you know, I've heard that when they initially announced Pokemon Sleep, that they didn't even start making the game. That's what I heard from whatever sources you want to take that from. I'm not really at liberty to say, but I heard when Pokemon Sleep got announced, the game wasn't even in development. But we do know who the developer is. It is Select Button. They made the ever-so-hit, ever-so-famous Magikarp Jump, which I thought that was a fun game. I thought it was really good.
It was fun for the 5 minutes that I played it.
Yeah,
I knew a whole lot of people who don't usually play Pokemon games who picked it up. It was lighthearted and easy to just sort of jump in and jump out.
It had a good frame rate, I remember.
Yes. I mean, it looked good.
So Magikarp Jump came out in May of 2017. And then there was an update in August of 2017. And that was made by Select Button, like I said, and then that was published by the Pokemon Company. So going back to Sleep, it was announced. The Plus Plus was announced. Pokemon Go has had updates since then with whatever code is supposed to link the two together. The whole deal of the Pokemon Go Plus Plus was it was this device that worked with Pokemon Go, just like your current Pokemon Go Plus worked, or your current Pokeball Plus worked. But you would be able to put this under your pillow, and that would be the thing that would measure sleep. So part of my speculation was the reason it was possibly delayed, and we don't know this. Maybe we will know this eventually. Or maybe we'll never know why it was delayed, or maybe it was never delayed. Maybe this was the plan, was to announce it and then to wait 4 years to release it. Who knows? But part of my speculation of why it possibly was delayed or not here yet is because when the pandemic did happen, which obviously no one planned for, anything that was electronic, chips for computers, chips for cars, gadgets, Apple TV, whatever, if it turned on with a power button, it got delayed because of the assembly lines in China.
The world. Literally everywhere.
And not to throw any shade at the Pokemon Company, but I feel like they're very frugal and they'll take the cheapest route. So if they needed to make, you know, thousands of these Pokeball Go Plus Pluses, because the app, you theoretically need this to put under your pillow for it to work.
Yeah.
The Pokemon, they also said that your phone could detect it as well. You didn't need the external device.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that. Maybe they couldn't get that to. I don't know how it works. Right? We don't know
there are sleep apps out there that just use your phone.
That's true.
I used one called Sleep Cycle for a very long time.
Do you have to like have it on you? Like where
do
you
pillow.
Put it under your pillow?
It uses the gyroscope. It uses all of the things, and it uses the microphone. It picks up all the same things that the Go Plus Plus would or will. It just uses your phone instead of the external device.
Right. But if they want to sell these little devices.
Yes, the device was the exciting part.
They need to make millions of them. And we already know, we know this for sure, when they released the Pokeball Go Plus, the thing that, if you're watching the YouTube videos on Hannah's shirt, that thing was impossible to find for a long time. And then they made a bunch for like a second shipment, and then they just decided to stop making it for whatever reason. They were like, oh, okay, we're done making this. The other interesting thing is I remember running into John Hanke when I was in Germany, and I honestly don't remember which YouTuber asked, but one of the YouTubers, it might have been Zoe Two Dots or somebody, asked John Hanke if they would make more, not make new ones, but to like make the more Pokeball Go Pluses, because there are third-party ones out there, which Niantic does not like. Niantic does not like the third-party stuff. And the answer from John was pretty much like, he pretty much said like he didn't like the Pokeball Plus or the Pokeball Go Plus because it didn't interact the way he wanted people to interact with Go, but like he also was like, that's not my decision. And then somebody brought up like Pokemon Sleep, and he was like, also not my decision, right? Like, that's a whole different game. That's a whole...
Got it. I'm honestly surprised he doesn't like it as much, because this little device is what gets me out walking to play the game more than a lot of other things in the game. Because there are times when I wouldn't be able to be looking at my phone, but I'm still able to go out and play Pokemon Go for a very long amount of time, and then I end up playing the game more later as I am sorting through those Pokemon and using those Pokemon in PvP because I got good ones while I was out with my Go Plus.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't really expand on why he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Right? And just because the CEO doesn't like something doesn't mean that like his decision is final, right? Somebody very smart at Niantic could be like, Mr. Hanke, like, we have proven that people with this device actually end up playing the game more than people without. That's why we should have it, right? Like, there's a bunch of... That's why I was, like, hesitant to say, like, because I don't want anyone to run away being like, we're never getting another Pokeball Go Plus because John Hanke one time in Germany at dinner said... It does remind me of that, that story that we covered that as well, of like somebody was like, I sat on the plane next to John Hanke. Do you remember this? They're like, I sat on the plane next to John Hanke. These were the 8 questions I asked him.
Here's how I annoyed this poor man on a terrible experience that called the flight. This is what I did. He tried to put in headphones, and I was like, no, you're listening to me now.
So what I'm saying is level 50 will eventually come to everyone per John Hanke on the airplane. Is the other thing I didn't really think about until I read this article. Sorry, going back to the Pokemon Sleep thing, is I follow Apple News very closely, and the whole like sleep, I would say, is tied to health, right? And Apple has been very weird about, not weird, but like very cautious about their health claims. Because if they want to claim certain things, they have to get certain approval. They're very, very cautious about this. And I wonder if there was some, maybe not, maybe sleep is, maybe no one cares about sleep. But because this is related to health, I wonder if this was what was delaying things is, oh, we need certain approval if we're going to say we're going to measure sleep in the United States.
That's possibly part of it.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, like, we are gathering personal medical data because sleep, your sleep cycle, the amount of sleep you get are medical records. And so there's a lot, not as much, I think, as there should be, but there are hoops you have to go through to be able to say, I'm collecting this, I'm storing this. But also you have to have a way of saying, I'm stripping identifiable personal data. You have to say that you are.
Yeah.
They don't. They just have to say that they do.
Well, you can say that you do and you can, but it doesn't make it
right.
completely
right.
detached from the person. That's right. the problem there.
So there's a lot that has to go into collecting personal medical history. And that is, in essence, what sleep is doing. Whether or not you're like, I'm using it to help me sleep, all of these things are collecting your personal medical data. The other thing to be aware of is, on the flip side of it, is what do they plan on doing with that data? And that is something that I want to know when this comes out. Like, what are you doing? Because there's no way you're not selling this to people. Who are you selling it to? What are they using it for? What overall things are you selling? I'm intrigued in it, in the fact that I do think it can help people, but seeing as we have seen multiple companies who have done real sketchy things by collecting data on people, I get nervous when they step into this field. And I want to know exactly what they're doing before I like jump into this.
More or less nervous than Pokemon Go.
So Pokemon Go, I don't play as much anymore. And one of the big things was them changing a lot of the ways that you had to be outside, changing those. When it became much, much more clear that it's like a lot of your decisions are about how you want to track our data than how you want us to actually use your game from a consumer standpoint, I got really turned away from Pokemon Go. So I generally now only play it when I know I'm not going anywhere with commerce in it. Community days, where I'm always at the same mall or at the park that also doesn't have commerce in it. Otherwise, I don't really open up that game. Much like I don't go to Target and I don't attach to their Wi-Fi anymore. Like, there's a lot of things that I've just stopped doing as they have slid, especially post-pandemic, the high-ranking bar, they just keep sliding it down.
It was just that Home Depot scandal where if you were like, they'll ask you for your email for your receipt, which for me is, I would rather not print the paper. I like organizing my email. And then we just found out that Home Depot was just selling all of our emails to everyone.
Yeah. And I stopped doing it for a lot of reasons. One of them was like, I didn't do anything with the receipt anyways. If you're just going to let me come in and leave, the only thing that it helps me is coming back to return it.
Yeah.
And the bad thing about that is that's how they sort of get you into the habit of giving them your information. Is if this is broken, you need to return it. Well, you need to prove that you purchase it from us, which is why I pretty much now stick to paper receipts. Just like, just give me the receipt. Like, if this is how we're going to be, I'm also going to make you cost money. I'm going to charge you as well, because that cost you money and you want the cheap way of doing things, and I'm not about that life anymore. Much like I don't like getting e-bills anymore. I'm like, nope, you're a bad company, so you get to pay the 50 cents to send me letters, because I know that cost you money. And this is my revenge for being horrible.
I think that's a great question, Greg, of like, what do they want to do with the sleep data? The only thing I can think of, which is still very powerful, is companies want to be on your home screen of your phone. There was a huge study a couple years back of like which apps make it to your actual like home screen of your iPhone or your Android phone, right? Like Facebook is up there, Twitter is up there, Instagram is up there, WhatsApp. Like that is a company's dream, is to be on your homepage, because if you're on the homepage, it's something crazy. It's like 80% more likely to open on a daily basis if you are on the homepage versus if you're on page two. It's like 80 is probably not accurate, but like the study had the exact numbers of like, there's a huge difference of being on page one and page two. Or there's a huge difference of being on page one in a folder versus being in page one. If you're making an app that is, you know, ideally the last app you're supposed to check before you go to bed, that's powerful. And then it's ideally is supposed to be the first app you check when you wake up. Also very powerful, right? That in itself makes it seem like, oh, I'm going to move this app to my homepage, which I think any company would want to be on the homepage of your phone. But like,
what
again,
if your homepage is actually the second page? I dump things on my phone homepage that I don't want to look at, and I keep it on my second page at all times.
But yeah, what are they going to do with the sleep data?
There's so many things you can do with sleep data. You can tell when people are sick. You can tell when people have unusual sleep patterns. You can tell who needs to sleep more. You can tell who needs advertisements for sleep medication that may or may not work.
You can tell when they're awake to receive your advertisements. You can tell when they're alert. You can tell when they're not alert. You can get the times to send them things, because we all know as you are getting sleepy, it's a good time because you're very suggestible. Like, there's a lot that goes that advertisers want with this data that ain't great. But again, many people won't care, right? Like, your level of how much you want to keep your personal data secret, private, is up to you. Like, there's no real good answer for any of this. It really comes down, what is your level of comfort knowing this level of detail is going out to somebody? And once it's out, it is out of your control. Like, you can't go and say, well, you can request, hey, delete all my data, and they'll say, done. You have no idea if that happened, right? Like, It is up to you to decide. I mean, again, I hope the patent works, that they are actually making something, that they do something, and people get a lot of enjoyment out of it, understanding the full risk. But I think this is one of the more risky things as far as privacy that they've done in a long time.
I do want to talk about the other side of the coin, though, just a little bit, because sleep and knowledge of how important sleep is gaining in popularity, at least in the circles I'm in and the society that I see, that understanding that sleep is important and a valuable piece of life and something you actually need, that is something that people are understanding more and more. So if this is something that gets people to understand that even better and understand that right up there with eating, drinking, breathing air, sleep is something that all animals do and humans need to do, if this is something that helps with that, I want that.
Yeah. I mean, the benefits are good, right? Like, understanding your sleep cycle. Again, there's a lot of weird mystical stuff in the middle of knowing your sleep habits, actually being able to make a change. Like, that's a little dicey drawing the line. Generally, being aware of how you sleep is a good thing. That said, you don't need a device to do that, but if this helps you, great. Just go in knowing the issues. Like, I'm fully aware that by tracking my workouts on my Apple Watch, I am giving Apple a lot of about how I exercise and how much exercise I do, but I need that also for my own tracking. So I am comfortable with selling my workout routine, basically, so that I can keep track for my own needs. It is a trade-off.
I mean, if there were talking about any company I trust my data with, it's probably Apple at this point.
I mean, they have some issues, so
yeah. But no, they're far from perfect.
Slightly above the bar compared to a bunch of either who are so far below the bar. Believe me, I and behind the scenes of a lot of major corporations, and boy.
Yeah, I've definitely tried.
Welcome to the Pokemon Center Data Privacy Podcast.
I've definitely tried sleep apps before in the past. I have kickstarted different, I've kickstarted different sleep apps, which they sent you like things to put on your arm when you go to sleep, and then you wake up the next day and that company is suddenly out of business, and you're like, well, I just bought this $80 device that only worked for 2 months. Now that company is gone. My personal problem with the sleep stuff is I can't really do anything with that data. I wake up and I'm like, it says you slept badly. No, I don't need you to tell me that. I feel it right now. And then it's like, you should go to bed more early. Again, I don't need you to tell me that. I know I should probably go to bed early. But if
there is Pokemon-based motivation for going to bed on time, then maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the last thing I need is more reasons to go to sleep. Like, given doing this right now or sleeping, I would still probably pick sleeping because I love sleep so much. I think what the sleep apps are supposed to do is let you know how deep your sleep actually is. And then you can go and sort of talk about, like, I slept for, you know, 10 hours, but I never hit deep sleep. Like, it never registered me going into REM sleep. There might be a problem.
Deep but sleep these and REM things, sleep are different things.
Yeah. But, like, these are all different things that the layperson can just look at numbers. And they only become useful if you're actually talking to a sleep specialist. Like, here's my track history. I don't sleep well. I've done everything I think and do. This is what it says. Can we start from here? But chances are they're going to throw you into their own sleep study with much better equipment than this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to be in that room with like 18 cameras watching you as you're trying to sleep?
The Go Plus Plus is not going to be anywhere near the most accurate sleep tracker. But if it helps people start to regulate a sleep schedule, motivates people to go to bed earlier, could help. If it exists, if it comes out.
If it comes out. I mean, I think I want to know once it manifests, then I'm really interested in what it's doing, how it works, what the benefits are, and hopefully they'll let us know what they're doing with your stuff on the back end. Even if it's PR-y stuff, like, at least let us know what you plan to do with our data.
Also, like, what if it's just a bad game? What if it's just not, like, not fun? Like, that's the thing.
Always possible.
Magikarp Jump was good, though. But, like, Magikarp Jump was good in, like, those 5-minute increments, right? Like, right. I don't know anyone who sat there and played Magikarp Jump 3 hours straight. Like, it was designed to, you know, come in, do a little thing, you know, come back in an hour, do a little thing. Speaking of a little thing, Comfey is a little thing coming to Pokemon Unite. This is off NintendoLife.com. An official tweet from the Pokemon Unite Twitter. Flower Power is coming to Eos Island. Comfey joins Pokemon Unite on February 2nd. Last year's Unite reveals were spoiled due to a data mine, which we then found out was Sableye, Clefable, Zoroark. Then we recently found out Dragapult came. I think we know that Zacian is next after Comfey.
Yeah, they believe that the free one we get for Pokemon Day will be Zacian. Mm. That is the current belief. We don't know if that's actually true, but that is the current belief.
That's a good free one. People like Zacian.
Yeah. I mean, like, we look at the past, we got Hoopa. We got Mew.
Hoopo's free?
Yeah. You had to play the game to get the tickets to get it. The assumption is that you have to do the same for Zacian.
Oh, you have to play to get the free Zacian that you just don't log in and get it.
Right. It's like you had to play and do the puzzle to get the free Mew. Like, you had to put all the pieces together and then you got Mew.
So you're paying with grinding through the game, like you were complaining about last week.
You're paying with your time.
You're paying with your time.
Yeah,
there was a Pokemon though you could just log in and get. Well,
There have been some,
and they may do it with this one. We don't know. But the last couple of free mythicals and legendaries and stuff were all play the game X amount of times. The weird thing is like they do it so like if you log in once and play one game by the end of the period, if you do that every day, you would get it. Like, you can get it faster by playing the game a lot, but generally, most of them were log in, do a quick battle. That's X. If you do that for 14 days, you get it.
I started playing the game right before the end of that Mew puzzle thing, and there was not enough time, no matter how much I played that game, to get that Pokemon.
No. Comfy is here and threatens to break the game completely. So everybody's excited.
I did not look at any data mine stuff. I'm sure is Comfy even on the test server yet?
Yes, it is. And a lot of people are very unhappy.
So from what I've been told, Greg, you can verify this, is Comfy is similar to a unit in League of Legends. And in League of Legends, that it's a healer, by the way. Comfy is supposed to be a healer character.
Yep.
In League of Legends, again, never played League of Legends. This is just what I've been told. League of Legends, this character would attach to other characters and then constantly heal them. And it's very, very hated in the League of Legends community. It's like a mutual hatement, I've been told. Like, everyone in League of Legends already hates each other, but they all come together to hate character.
Yeah, so it is based and seems to work the exact same way that Yuumi does. So the biggest problem is when Yuumi is attached, and so far it seems to be the same for Comfei, when it's attached, it does not become targetable. So if it attaches to like a Snorlax, who already is difficult to get down because it's so tanky, you can't target the thing that's healing it because you can't do it. So you have this thing that is a player in the game that you can't interact with, and it just sits there and can do whatever without being punished. And the weird thing is that they added is, so let's say Snorlax is down 50 health and Comfei heals it for 100. It goes 50 and then puts a 50 hit point shield on top. So it's converting overhealing.
That's worse.
Into a shield, which is really going to be not great. So everybody who's mad at Sableye right now, who's getting a nerf, we all knew it was coming. This is potentially going to really divide the community a lot. Because it is, I mean, Yuumi is known as a problem. Yuumi's known as so much of a problem that the developers promised this year they are going to rework Yuumi from the ground up and redo the entire character. That's how much League of Legends players have been against Yuumi. And it looks like Comfei is basically the same as Yuumi. It's going to be interesting because the issue is when they changed the Rayquaza to a more Zapdos feel, once again, it became about surviving and overleveling. And when you have a thing that cannot be targeted, that helps certain, that can go to any Pokemon and help them level up without being punished, that really fundamentally changes it. Because the way it looks is Comfei, as long as it's got its base ability, may not ever need to be at a high level because it can't be targeted. So it doesn't matter if your Comfei is a level 6, if it has its full suite of abilities, it doesn't have to get experience other than XP share, which it will get just by being attached because they also changed how XP share happens. So it's like, okay, this could be a really big problem for Unite, and it's going to be interesting to see how it actually plays out in game.
Okay, how about this? You can only get Comfei if you spend $30 and get the Comfei uniform.
I figure it's going to be probably a huge AOS coin one. Like, it's probably going to be a 14 or an 18, but who knows?
I will say, as somebody who's done a lot of VGC, Comfei would normally sit next to a Lapras, a Gigantamax Lapras or something, and it was equally as annoying in that situation because it would kind of do the same thing. It would sit there and heal, because its ability triage would make it go first if it was using a healing type move. It's a very unique ability. Or it would just, you know, ally switch, and that was equally annoying.
Yeah, on their Twitter, they released some of its moves, which are interesting. Nothing that were... the biggest thing they did confirm, which we all knew, is that it does attach.
Yeah.
It does do shields, it does do HP, and then... It does have Grass Knot as its ability. So it's damage and hindrance. If it's attached to somebody, it can use those moves. Basically, if it's attached to an attacker, it can lock whoever they're attacking in place, making it difficult for them to leave. We got a lot of questions about what Comfei's gonna do to this game.
Well, we will be able to talk about it next week, yeah, because it comes out this week. So
yeah,
all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fish, and we're going to talk about Greninja, which is a frog. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN.
You've heard me talk about how important it is to have a VPN to protect your online privacy, but choosing a VPN that you trust is equally as important. Now, I do like to research on my sponsors, and I only recommend brands my listeners that I believe in. I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is one of the best VPNs on the market. Here's why.
It's Will-backed, number one.
Will likes it a lot.
Number one, ExpressVPN doesn't log your activity online. There are a bunch of cheap or free VPNs out there that make money by selling your data to advertisers. ExpressVPN doesn't do that. They are a developed technology trusted server that makes their VPN servers incapable of storing any data at all. Number two is speed, like Sonic the Hedgehog, except we talk about Pokemon here. ExpressVPN now uses Lightway, a new VPN protocol that they engineer to make the speeds faster than ever. Last thing that sets ExpressVPN apart is how easy it is to use. You don't need any technical skills. Your grandma could probably do this pretty easily. You just fire up the app and tap one button to connect. That's it. Oh, they say even your grandparents could do it, but I thought of that, not them. The ad copy is lining up here.
That's me.
So protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. Use my link expressvpn.com/pkmncast today and get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/pkmncast. Visit expressvpn.com/pokemoncast to learn more.
This podcast is brought to you by the Super Anime Podcast. That's super with three U's.
Yeah, the Super Anime Podcast, a weekly podcast that looks to entertain, inspire, and inform you about anime, a subject near and dear to my heart. It's a unique anime podcast where hosts Ed and Solo look at anime from a real-world perspective, listen to in over 150 countries. Plus, another thing that is near and dear to my heart, you can hear the occasional good or bad singing on the podcast. You all be the judge, but don't talk about my singing on this podcast because it was always impeccable.
I mean, they have heated debates on anime versus manga, if Pokemon is the greatest anime of all time.
How is that a debate?
Because it's just right. It's just I am sure. I haven't listened to that episode. That's the first on my list though, and I'm confident that Ed and Solo have decided that Pokemon is the greatest anime of all time, and it wasn't that One Piece show. They haven't even found the One Piece.
They haven't even found the One Piece, and they have found Pokemon. What more do you need?
That's true. They do a ton of general anime discussion. You know, best anime weapons. Sing in the best anime intros, top five interesting anime characters. I can name them right here. Pikachu, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Mewtwo, Chikorita. There you go.
I was with you till Chikorita. Now we're into it.
I'm sure Ed and Solo have a better list.
Totodile was way more interesting than Chikorita ever was. Totodile bit everybody.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Finally, they have had some incredible guests on their podcast, such as the singer of the Pokemon theme song, Jason Page, which we will have a link to in our show notes for you all to go and listen to if interested. Super Anime Podcast promises that you will love, laugh, and learn on their show.
Super Anime Podcast with three U's, SUUUPER, Anime Podcast, can be found wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And we are back from our break. Let's talk Greninja. He was here.
All right. It's here. I carried your wug across the finish line. You would have failed without me.
I knew it was
coming.
So
we need to have this discussion about how awesome I am.
I will say, I will give Greg so much credit in the world, which is very rare. One, it's very rare for Greg and I to agree on anything. Number two, everyone still thinks Greg and I hate each other.
Yep.
Number three, Greg and I think talk every single day.
Yep.
Okay, before we get into Greg and I's story about the Wug, 7-star Greninja, by the time this is up, is gone. Greninja will return
again
on February 10th through February 12th. It did have the ability Protean. It did not have Battle Bond. It was also the Poison Terra type, which is still confusing to some people out there.
Yeah.
I get it. We're here to educate people on Pokemon. It still has water and dark type moves because it's still technically a water dark type Pokemon. But when its Terra type changes to poison, it's only weak to what poison is weak to, which in this case would be ground and psychic. It had six moves where Charizard had eight. Cinderace had five. This had six. So we have Hydro Pump, which was kind of a shocker that it didn't have Water Shuriken.
Yeah, I thought for sure it had water shuriken. It didn't.
It didn't. I guess maybe the speculation or the assumption would be water shuriken took too much time off the clock because it would have to calculate every hit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it had water shuriken, night slash, so this made it a mixed attacker, gunk shot, toxic spikes, ice beam, and double team.
So, and I was correct, but toxic spikes.
Yeah. The
if
nice
you
thing
went out. There was one time when I was doing a random where I was like, you know what? These people are having a tough time with toxic spikes. So I let my Quagsire die because when a poison type comes in, it eats up all the toxic spikes like yum, 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 and fixes the problem because it never toxic spikes again.
Yeah. So I guess the pattern here is that all three of these raid bosses did two things before you could do anything. So Charizard would normally overheat and then reset stats. That's two things. Cinderace would bulk up and then attack you. That's two things. Greninja would toxic spikes and double team. I think thematically, this had like the most thought go in for being like a poison ninja. Said like being like the double team is very ninja-y. The toxic spikes is very ninja-y. I do like whether this was intentional or not, I don't know, but Hydro Pump and Gunk Shot are not 100% accurate. Hydro Pump is 85% accurate. Gunk Shot is 80% accurate. So it was kind of like this back and forth of you missing your moves and Greninja missing their moves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was like, there are ways around that, right? Like you could get rid of the double team stuff by clear smog or haze or, you know, taunt to prevent future double teams. But I didn't think the evasion stuff was that big of a deal because even so, like it's four versus one. So even if like two Pokemon miss, ideally, hopefully the third one hits.
Yeah.
Hannah, did you get a chance to do any Greninja?
I did. I did three. Three battles, I won the third one, and then I have not had time to do any since then. I built a Klefki for it, and because I love Clodsire so much, I built a Klefki for it because I figured everyone was going to be playing with Clodsire.
A lot of Clods.
and I kind of regret not playing Clodsire. I think I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. But, I mean, people are still having trouble with it, that's for sure. I don't think it's as hard as the others, at least in the same ways, and I think that the double team did kind of throw in a this is kind of fun, this is kind of new element to it.
Yeah,
I think they're doing a good job with that.
It made the thing I don't like about it is it made it much more swingy because one of the ones I did, I think the first time we tried to do Wug, I missed.
Oh, maybe we should.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. The first time I did the raid with Steve, I missed one of my moves 5 times in a row. Which is not a great experience, right?
No, it's
like
not.
It is really frustrating to be like, oh, I could win this, but this is when the random chance thing comes in really negatively. And watching other people do streams and other streams, that's a common complaint. Like, what am I supposed to do when I miss 8 moves in a row? Like, how, like, we have all the right builds, but we're just not allowed to hit it. That part, I think it made sense, but the fact that it would do it multiple times was like, okay, this is not great fun.
Yeah. On the flip side, I made the YouTube video, right? I made all the Instagram graphics of Pokemon that would work with Greninja or against Greninja, but that also would work together. So Clodsire, Klefki. Who else was on that? Gosh, Toxtricity, etc. And I'm really happy that they all turned out and worked well. It was kind of funny because also none of those Pokemon could be toxic by toxic spikes except for the Gastrodon, which is ironically like the one Pokemon that probably shouldn't be dying at all, right? Like,
right.
If Gastrodon's dying, there's probably an issue there. For some reason, my Twitch chat thought that me battling with Wug Trio would have been incredibly entertaining. And so I built a Wug Trio. I looked, I calculated damage, and I was like, I need to do, because somebody was like, oh, put a Salt Vest on Wug Trio. And I was like, that, you know, Ice Beam and Hydro Pump don't really matter that much. I don't really need the Assault Vest. I need to not die to Gunk Shot, because I think as I was building it, the first Gunk Shot was doing 80%. And I was like, oh boy. And then I got it down to, because I put I put my stats into like max defense and stuff. I got gung shot down to like, okay, well, if it hits me, it's about 56%, 60%. So that's not much better, but it is better. And I was like, okay, I'll put chilling water. I'll, you know, I want my woke trio to still feel part of the team, right? So chilling water helps everyone. And then, gosh, what else? It had like mud slap, so I can lower Greninja's accuracy. So we're doing this missing. So Greg was frustrated that they missed five times. I'm over here cheering that Greninja has missed me five times.
Yeah.
Because I'm like one hit away from dying. We beat Greninja with a Lug Trio, so that was fun.
We did. Well, the second time.
The second time. The first time.
The first time we were very, very close. The thing is, it's funny because I had done another podcast right before I joined. So I had not been able to do any of the raids. And I popped in and he was building this Wug Trio. And Steve's like, who wants to do it? I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'll do it. I'll jump in. I'll take the hit so that other people don't get salty for doing this really not great idea. I mean, but the thing is, it's like, we did it on the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
mm-hmm. it worked really smooth too.
It worked. Like, all the pieces fit together fine. But yeah, people are like, people kept asking, this is your first raid. I'm like, in this context, not ever. like, let's be clear. I do a lot of raiding in a lot of games. I know how the trial and error things that I do. Patch day raids in multiple MMOs that are the most frustrating thing in the world, where you die for 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered by this.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about like that tolerance of failure, because raids are relatively new in Pokemon games, right? Like, even they've been around for 3 years in Sword and Shield, but like they're in the franchise, in the series, relatively new. You know, coming from a Final Fantasy or a Destiny or a World of Warcraft, where, you know, there is a point in those games where it's like 6 people, 14 people, whatever, get together, they do it, and then, all right, we'll see you next week, and they'll do it again. All right, see you next week. But there is a whole other set of people that don't have a reliable raid group or reliable friends that play every week. So they grab randoms. And they sit there and they fail for 2-3 hours, and eventually they get it. Eventually the pieces fit, or the RNG works out. And they're like, wow, great, that was a fun experience. But like 3 hours of failing at the end, we're like, oh my gosh, it felt so good. We did it. And then they move on. I don't think that tolerance is built up yet for a lot of people in the Pokemon community, where it's like, oh, I did Greninja twice, I can't do it, I'm never going to do it again, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the limiting factors that they haven't quite figured out yet for this is they still need to kind of tweak the rewards a little bit. I think the rewards are good, but I don't think they're great enough for you to go through the somewhat frustrating process of failing multiple times to when you finally do it the first time and you catch the Greninja, like that's the ultimate prize. And then is there a really great link to continue doing it after? The stuff you get are okay, but they're randomized, and I don't think they've tweaked up the rewards enough after you've done the first one, you've caught the Pokemon, to really encourage people to keep helping the community. I think that needs a little bit of attention, just a little bit more to sweeten the pot.
I agree with you. I if the game is smart enough to know whether or not you caught it, it should know whether or not the people in the raids have also caught it. So, you know, if I ended up doing, I think, 54 raids this weekend or something. I didn't play on Saturday, I didn't play on Sunday. It was only Thursday, Friday. I was counting them this time around. And every single raid I did out of the 50, there was 1 to 2 new people. If not like all 3 new people. And it was a lot of people that were like, thank you so much. Like, I built this Pokemon, I was able to do it with you, I got it, I feel great. And it's almost like, I think in Final Fantasy, if you were like, if you did it, but somebody else in the raid, I could be wrong, maybe correct me, Greg, if somebody else was new, the person who did it a bunch of time will get more rewards because they noticed a new person was in there.
That system has been tweaked somewhat. There are rewards for helping new players get through. There are bigger rewards if you do dungeons where new players are going to be in them.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
you'll
okay.
get more money or more of the tomes that you need to buy better gear. I think one thing that MMOs are very good at is they build in things that don't necessarily change the game, but help you customize. So one thing that Pokemon doesn't do right now, because they limited the customization option, is that it would be nice if, like, unique items for your character fell in these things to give you a reason, like, oh, I'm really going for a Froakie hat, and this is the only time I can get that hat. Something beyond to keep people invested, because ultimately, like, we always, everybody who's a Final Fantasy XIV player says the final boss is the glam dresser. That is the thing that we're all working towards. We want to look our best. We need to get the things. You run older content just to get a pair of gloves that matches this new outfit that you have. And that's something that they just don't do. Because one of the things is like Terra Shards. How many fighting Terra Shards do you have, Steve? Like
999.
15 billion.
That's maxed.
Yeah. So, and how many times are you going to switch to that thing? Like, we were worried that they weren't going to do it enough. And now it's like, well, this is the main reward and I don't need them.
Well, that's people, crazy you say that, because I have 999 Terra Shards, right? But I only have like 30 ground Terra Shards. And I caught a shiny Clodsire completely. Like, oh, I just stumbled upon a shiny Wooper. I caught it. I was like, great, perfect. I'm going to build this for the raid. And it was poison and not ground. And that's like not the worst Terra type. Like it still resists a lot of what Greninja had, but I was like, I literally can't change it to the better Terra type because Greninja starts in a day, and where am I supposed to find a bunch of ground Terra raids to grind this out? Like, this is what I was talking about months ago with like tournament stuff. Like, mm-hmm. if you're about to, you know, do a tournament and the night before, like, you're 20 shards short, like, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you could do it. I'm sure you can move your clock over and over and over again to find what you want, but like, that's not a great way to go into a tournament of like, oh, I could be practicing battles, but instead I gotta go battle a ground Corviknight over here in a raid.
Yeah, I agree that the raids are a good direction. Like, I think these need to stick around, but I do think, like every other MMO out there, like every other game that's had this, they need to look at how the rewards incentivize doing these actions. And I'm curious to see, again, how much more or people start redoing this again when it comes around the second time. Because like, there's a ton of people who got it this time.
Yep.
So do the numbers drop off? Are people going to do it like... Do people have a desire to do it, knowing, like, because I don't think any Urba can fall from it.
Nope. No.
So one of the most sought after things doesn't drop from this raid. And is that enough of an incentive to keep doing this with random people, especially when you jump in and it's two Slowbros and a Vaporeon? Like, are you going to suffer through that? For what? For what? For what ending?
And again, it's not even that, right? Like, you can jump in and you'd be like, oh, well, I guess this Clodsire is level 60. Like, I guess we lose because it's not the right level.
That is one thing that I wish they would also take from MMOs are you must be at this level to sign up for this. Like, FF14 raids say you have to have an item level of like 610. Which means you have to be at a certain level in the game, have run enough of these things to gather that gear to be able to take on this content. And I really wish that they would implement something like that to stop frustration, just to let people know this is the expectation for this, because they've been really bad at setting the actual expectation and relying on content creators to do that heavy lifting for them.
And when the levels make it hard for the entire team to do it, especially when you're doing it with randoms, it's just a worse experience.
Yeah. And you also don't know when you go in. Like,
right. You don't know until after the fact.
You can't see until after. You're like, I have no idea. Why did that Clodsire die in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, it's also like I realized this more this past week because, you know, I made six Pokemon, right? And one of the Pokemon was a Hydreigon. And I knew when I made Hydreigon that it was weak to a possible ice move, right? Like, I calculated all the ice moves that Greninja had prior to it. It was like Blizzard, Ice Beam, Icy Wind, and Ice Punch. And I was like, okay, well, based on the Hydreigon build I did, the Ice Beam would do, it would be like a four shot. It would do about 25% of its health. So I was like, okay, that's still really good, right? Like, surviving four moves from a raid boss is still really good, especially mm-hmm. like, that's not counting light screens or reflex or chilling waters or snarls or whatever, or like heal cheers, right? Surviving four is relatively good. And so when I built the Hydreigon, it was, you know, earth power, super effective, very strong move. Hydreigon has a crazy good special attack, right? And then the other move was like Snarl. And Snarl, for those that don't know, like, lower Greninja's special attack. So if Greninja did have Ice Beam or Blizzard, it would do less damage. That was the whole point. Snarl was there. And then there was like other moves, right? Like Focus Energy, you know, whatever. And throughout both my like Instagram and YouTube, there were people that were like, I used your Hydreigon and it didn't work. I just lost to Ice Beam. And I asked all, I think it was five people. I was like, well, did you open up using Snarl? And they all said, no, why would I Snarl? So it's like, you can give people these tools, but they still might not know how to pilot it, right? Like, in my head with Hydreigon, it's like, well, you always Snarl turn one. That's the whole point of Snarling. Cause like, now Greninja is -1 for everyone. Like, everyone's everyone's taking less damage from Ice Beam or Hydro Pump. And then, you know, one Snarl with Hydreigon lets Hydreigon survive six Ice Beams instead of four. So it's like, again, you can give these tools to people, which I think we see a lot. You know, we talked about the Slowbros and we've talked about the Vaporeons. These tools are out there, but they're not, people don't know how to pilot them.
Right.
And then it becomes frustrating for everyone on the team, because it's like, you watch a Slowbro do what they're told to do, and then all of a sudden they have to start over. And it's
I mean, they don't have the skills to adapt, right? They haven't developed the skills to adapt. But I will say, I have one complaint about your Hydreigon. You left off the 70% chance of it getting frozen.
I should have put down the details. For some reason, Hydreigon got more frozen than everyone else. I legit got frozen turn one in a match. I cheered myself, de-thawed. I immediately got poisoned. I'm like, okay, well, I'm okay with being poisoned. I can't get frozen if I'm poisoned. Somebody else heal cheered it.
Win-win.
As soon as they removed the poison, I got frozen again.
See? You needed to put that out. Because
10%. How did this happen?
At 70% on all dragon types. It's in the code. Data mine it, baby.
Sometimes RNG can be really, really cruel and really funny.
Yeah. It's a cruel thing. Again, I think, you know, the game, unlike a lot of games that have raiding and dungeons in it, the game doesn't do a good job of teaching you your and this is just an example of the main gameplay not teaching you how to do something so completely different. And I'm hoping, like, again, we will see a different experience next weekend because people have had a weekend to learn. This is how raids go. They begin to pick up on how to do the tools. If they're really interested in getting it, they will turn away from the game and go to the internet and find out what went wrong. Why didn't this work? And it is not great that a lot of games force you to go outside of itself to get the training you need to play their game effectively. But it's brand new, right? You know, MMOs have only recently added in an entire tutorial section that you can go into that says, here's how you run a dungeon, and this is what the roles are, and this, like, they finally started putting that in games. So I think, hopefully, we will see that added. I hope this feature continues, and they'll be able to add more of that to the game. But we are just going to struggle for a while because these raids are unlike anything else they do in the game.
The other thing I want to say is I think it's funny. I mean, Greg and Hannah could probably attest to this. You know, as we're all adults and we're playing Pokemon, the Insta complaint is, well, that's a children's game, right? That game's made for children. It's the same like logic or energy of like somebody watching wrestling and then the person being like, well, you know, it's fake. Like, it's like, what are you trying to accomplish with this?
Yeah.
I read something where it was like, these raids are too hard. How are kids supposed to do this? Which is funny, because like for the longest time, I'm so used to like, well, these games are so easy. Like, we finally get an ounce of difficulty. And I would say there's plenty of hard stuff that has happened in Pokemon. Like, I genuinely think the battle tree in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon was incredibly difficult for an average person. Like, if you're saying I've never really EV trained, I've never really cared about natures, you're probably not getting to the battle tree in Sun and Moon, right? Like, it's pretty difficult. If you, even though Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee was a relatively enjoyable, simple, straightforward game, out of those 150 master battles, some of them were actually pretty difficult without just straight up looking up the puzzle, right? Like, as you could easily go like, okay, what's the four moves I should be using? Okay, great. I figured out the puzzle, right? The whole point of those master battles were puzzles. And once you figured it out, like, you can't not unfigure it out, right? Like, the thing works. You put the circle in the circle hole, you put the square in the square hole, you now know, right? Like, you can't undo that. I hate this constant, like, Pokemon is a game for children, therefore it's easy, when it's not. And it not only is it insulting to the majority of the player base, but it's insulting to both adults and kids. Like, there are a lot of adults that are terrible at video games, and that's okay. That's totally fine. And I helped a lot of them this weekend, and it put a smile on my face for those people to be like, Greninja's my favorite Pokemon, and without your raid builds or without this community, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I don't care if you're bad at video games. Just be a nice, decent person and just show up and have a good time. We can get it. To assume that, like, oh, well, kids are bad and adults are good, and so everyone who's failing the raids have to be kids, you're, like, out of your mind.
Yeah,
and one of
mind.
My favorite moments this weekend was a parent who came in, and they're like, my son loves watching you. It's his birthday today. Can you help him do Greninja? And I was like, yeah, cool. And my Twitch chat was, like, very, like, oh, my gosh, like, I want to be in this raid. Like, they genuinely wanted it. It's the kid's birthday, right? And they brought a Gastrodon. I didn't tell them what to bring. I didn't ask him what level it was. Like, I just trust that, like, look, it doesn't matter what the level is. I'll make sure that this kid gets the Greninja, right? And they did everything right. They started off mud slapping. As soon as Greninja was down to -6, they started earth powering. I didn't tell this kid what to do. And I was just shocked that, like, I've had to coach so many adults through these raids. And, like, this 7-year-old just blew them all out of the water. Just an all-star player. Just like, kids are smart, and it's just so frustrating when adults are like, well, everyone who's bad must be a child.
Yeah.
Do you think when these kids are playing Fortnite, which a very popular game, a very incredibly popular game for all ages, like, Fortnite is not a kid's game, it is a game that appeals to everyone, do you think that they're like, Fortnite is like, oh, we read your biometrics. You're 6 years old. We're going to put you against the other 6-year old. No, when they're playing Fortnite, they are playing against adults, grandpas, mothers. Like there is no, like, age room for Fortnite. They are getting dropped into a player base with all ages, and a lot of kids are coming out and winning. Whatever I don't know what it says when you win in Fortnite. I think it says Victory Royale. It's just crazy to me that we still live in a time where it's almost like, I think my parents are theoretically boomers. I think they fall under that.
No, your mom and I are the same age.
My dad's older, though. I think my dad is boomer. Or is he Gen X?
No, how much older is your dad?
5 years?
No, he's still X.
He's still Gen X. But for the longest time, they were like, when are you going to grow out of video games? When are you going to grow out of video games? And it feels like it's still that mentality of like, children are bad at video games. Like, or it's just so frustrating.
It speaks to the higher problem of societal expectations of acceptable pastimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have started saying to people, you watch football? That's a kid's game. My nephews played that in elementary school. And they begin to see, like, the connections. Like, it doesn't stop deciding how I should enjoy my time and what's an acceptable use of my time. It is my life. I get to do these things. I think the bigger thing is kids have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
like they have a lot more free time than adults do. Kids have a lot more can get hyper focused on things a lot more easier than adults can. Like
they don't have as many things to be paying attention to.
Yeah, they aren't being pulled in so many directions, provided their parents are pulling them in a million different directions. And so it is often easier for kids to be able to watch a number of things that teach them and then implement those in practice. Whereas an adult will look up, like we've said this before, find a build on Google, like, okay, I did my 5 minutes of research because that's all I've got time for, because I have to build this thing while dinner is cooking, and they don't know how to then proceed because they just don't have a lot of time. And it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Adults are just often discouraged from asking for help.
Yeah, like you're doing something wrong if you're asking for help.
Yeah, which is also a very frustrating thing about how society treats adults.
I think that the Greninja and the Cinderace and the Charizard, I think they are the right level of difficulty. Just like I think that Destiny raids were the right level of difficulty, right? Like, if you had six people in a Destiny raid and everyone knew what they were doing, you would probably maybe wipe once, but you would get the whole raid done in like 45 minutes. Destiny raids were kind of long. But, you know, if you had two new people and they were struggling and their gunplay wasn't as good, or their reaction time wasn't as great, you'd be there for like 3-4 hours. You'd be there longer. And that was also okay. Like the joy for me wasn't like, if I wanted to get done as fast as possible, I wouldn't be playing with those people, right? I would go to LFG looking for a group, and I would post like, must have experience, you know, on a time limit. You know, and people would show, because other people would be like, I also want experience. I'm also on a time limit. I will join this. And there will be no cigarette break like most adult raids have. Is like, oh, hold on, I gotta take my smoke break. But like,
it's bio time. Everybody take a break.
Bio break.
But, you know, I had a lot of good memories sitting in a Destiny raid for 3-4 hours, which is way more than you should be. But because like it was the joy of getting those two or three new people, like the first clear they've ever gotten, and to hear them so excited was like, okay, that was worth the 3 hours. Because they did it.
There are things I can't go back to, right? Like the WoW 40 mans that you had to do over multiple days, and you had to leave your character in the raid because if you left, it would reset. So
this was
spend,
a thing? Why was it multi-day because of people or because of Blizzard?
Because it was so hard. So you would get halfway through and be like, okay, well, that's 5 hours. We have to stop. We'll come back Thursday. So everybody stay here. Just log your character out in this safe alcove. You couldn't play until the next thing, which was usually Friday. Wow. So you do it on Tuesday. You'd not play the game. You'd log in on Friday to complete the rest of the raid. Because it was that difficult, and it was 40 people. So you had to have 40 people all agree, this is what we're doing for these 2 days.
That's so much coordination.
And at the time, it was like, this is the only option we have. Sure, this is fun. Like, none of us liked it, but what else can we do? And like, when they brought back Vanilla WoW, and people were like, I can't wait to... I'm like, no, I am never going back to that. I am never going back to logging out halfway through. Not people had alts to do the other days. Like, well, I guess I'm leveling my alt.
That's insane.
I can't leave. And you couldn't go back in. Like, if you left and people stayed in so it didn't reset, all of the mobs would respawn. So you couldn't get back to the group. You could never get back.
Oh,
so
I see.
To stay where they were, because you would be killed on the way trying to get to people. Nightmare.
But if one person left, it would ruin it for everyone, right?
No, as long as one person stayed at that time, they had, as long as some people stayed, and it was a warlock that stayed, a warlock could open portals to summon people from the entrance of the dungeon.
Got it.
So if one, but the problem is the warlock portal summoning only worked with three people. You had to have the warlock and then two people to click on it to summon. So at minimum, you had to have a warlock, three people, and the warlock had to use up bag space to have enough soul shards to summon 39 people. Nightmare. So awful. So awful.
Speaking of nightmares, this is off Kotaku. Fish plays Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, accidentally commits credit card fraud. A YouTuber created an alternative Switch controller for their pet fish, which allowed them to play the video game on the live stream. This isn't new, by the way. Like, we've had fish playing video games for quite a while. That fish managed to spend real money on some digital purchases while trying to beat a gym leader in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. This happened because Scarlet and Violet was so buggy that the game crashed to the home menu. The popular Japanese YouTuber Muti Kimiru, we'll have the article in the show notes if you want to click through it, who streams fish playing video games via an assistive device, was intending to help viewers stay home during the pandemic. The fish will swim over certain areas of the controller, and then the game will register a specific input, and the fish plays, you know, multiple video games. It's not just Pokemon. Pretty boring story of just fish playing Pokemon, but because the game ended up crashing, then it backed out to the home menu, where the fish then added 500 yen to the owner's account. Then it used the resulting Nintendo Gold coins, which are the loyalty coins, to buy a golf cosmetic for Nintendo Switch Sports.
And a game, right?
But the fish did go back to the homepage, managed to open the eShop. It did show the credit card information stored, which the owner now has to get a new credit card.
Yeah. I
downloaded
feel like
the Nintendo 64 emulator.
I feel like this is the dumb thing I would do, because I would also forget to take my saved information out, assuming like what could possibly go, like not thinking through those steps. Like, what if it goes wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Because why would a hyper buggy game that crashes a lot crash and let my fish have free access to my personal data? Like, that is not a thing that I would think about. That is something my husband would think about. However, he would way go down that. That's why I run ideas past him, because he's got much more of the anxiety plot line than I do. I'm much more of a, what could go wrong? Let's do it.
I'm still at multiple crashes on my game. Like, I still get like 1 to 2 crashes a week.
Yep.
I still have not crashed once. Jeez. Don't know what the difference is there.
You got the golden code over there. It's like Willy Wonka. You got the golden version. Only 6 people in the country can play a bug-free game. Later, you get to go tour Nintendo Land, where you get turned into a Goomba.
I want to go. I would be at Nintendo Land.
I do too.
But I feel like this. I don't know if it's Mute Kimaru or Mute Kimaru channel. One of those. They've been playing these for a long time, for years, and if this has never happened before, this means that this is the most buggy of all the games, potentially, that these fish have played.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Man,
on their YouTube.
Fish
they, have
that
a lot
outfit,
of, they have a lot of fish content on their YouTube.
It's all fish all the way down.
I feel
Here's
like this probably
start...
stemmed from Twitch Plays Pokemon initially.
Yeah. Yes, I believe it did, yeah.
Here's what you do, is you get a turtle.
Uh-huh.
And then you set up to Turtle Plays Pokemon for the days that you don't want to stream.
I see. Turtles are stinky, though, aren't they?
Not if they're in the water. If they're aquatic turtles, you're not going to smell them.
Okay.
But everything's stinky. Fish are stinky.
Fish are stinky, aren't they? Yeah. You have to like, clean it
stinky.
Pretty often.
You're stinky. We are just the only species that actively takes just beyond the levels of care to make us less stinky.
I'm waiting for cat deodorant.
Good luck.
I think
that's $1 million idea right there.
I think that's our show for everyone.
And that's also the secret phrase. If you made it to the end, go to Twitch as a cat deodorant. Watch chaos ensue.
Perfect.
If you missed Greninja, if you didn't have time, I think that's also a big factor here. Is just people don't have time. You got another 2 weeks. You got not this coming week, but next week to prepare a Pokemon for Greninja. If you would like help build that Pokemon, come over to Twitch. We'll help you go through it. I think I'll be streaming all next weekend because then after that I will be leaving for Vegas. So, and then we'll be catching some Hoenn Pokemon.
Hoenn Hat Pikachus.
Yeah, Hat Pikachus. So get your Greninja builds ready if you missed it, and we'll help you get through it. Shout out to both the Slack and the Discord. Also very good at helping people get through Greninjas or other content. So anyways, thanks for making it to the end. Greg, thank you. Hannah, thank you. We will see you guys next week, which also this upcoming weekend is Neuvern Community Day. So good luck. Have fun.
Get them bats.
Getting those bats. I can't believe Niantic made the other bats worthless.
All bats are bad now because...
All right, we'll see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Waiting for Pokemon to potentially help us improve our sleep instead of the other way around. Super effective.
Yeah, quit keeping me up at night, Pokemon. How dare you.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.